KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart app. Good morning, Bill Handel Show. Bill on vacation. Some of the top stories we're watching for you. Ghislaine Maxwell got 20 years for her involvement in the sexual abuse of Jeffrey Epstein et al. And it's probably going to be a terrible travel weekend, at least if you were planning to fly, because more and more flights are being canceled by the airlines. Now, it's very interesting because something happened overnight here in Southern California, and it has to do with what I was going to talk about. The general topic here is that retail workers are experiencing more crime in the stores and also more attacks upon them, and they're starting to fight back, and it's affecting how the unions negotiate their contracts moving forward because of this problem. And it turns out that overnight here in SoCal, there was a string of convenience store robberies that, if I'm reading this log correctly, three convenience stores were robbed in the space of about an hour. And it's got to be the same crew because they were all robbed by three people wearing dark clothing and masks. It started in Pomona just a little bit before 1 a.m. They took money out of the register. They left. About 15 minutes later, a store in Diamond Bar was robbed. And then about 40, 45 minutes after that, a store in Whittier was robbed. So this started right before 1 a.m. and the third robbery was right around 2 a.m. And that was a 7-Eleven in Whittier. And it's not surprising to me that you'd get three people together and they would decide, let's not just rob a convenience store, let's go rob a bunch of them. Because retail establishments have definitely become a bigger target for criminals. You see this with the shoplifting. And I think you remember when it was a big trend in the news. Oh, here's video of somebody going into a CVS with a shopping cart and just filling it up with stuff and walking on out. Stores closing because of the prevalence of crime happening. Then you also have the more serious and the more disturbing incidents. The shooting at the grocery store in Buffalo last month, 10 people dead. And it reminded me that last year, 10 people were killed at a shooting at a supermarket in Boulder, Colorado. So you have everything going on from regular old shoplifting to super brazen shoplifting to organized shoplifting to garden variety assaults on the retail workers, all the way up to these very deadly shooting attacks. So here's what's interesting. There's a woman named Kim Cordova, and she's a grocery union president. And she's been in the grocery industry for almost 40 years. And she recently had to negotiate a new contract for about 21,000 grocery workers. And yes, of course, they would talk about wages and they would talk about scheduling issues and that kind of stuff. But for the first time, she also had to specifically negotiate around the issue of safety for these workers. Not industrial safety, not we want the forklifts to work properly and we don't want stuff stacked too high so it can fall on us, but safety from intruders. And so here's what happened. They got a deal with the stores that they have a right to defend themselves if they're attacked by a customer, which is not the case almost anywhere. And you hear these stories all the time about somebody gets fired because they went after a customer who was causing trouble. Most retail establishments have a policy that you are not to intervene and you are not to do anything. I'm assuming because they're worried about liability. It also could be that they're worried about situations escalating. But in any event, here you have a big union saying, we're more concerned that we're allowed to defend ourselves than we are with getting a raise. That's how big of a problem that it is. The number of assaults in retail establishments is going up faster than the rate of assaults, generally speaking. That's according to FBI data. So, for example, if you look at 2018 to 2020, overall in the country, assaults were up 42%, but in grocery stores, they were up 63%. And in convenience stores, they were up 75%. So that's disproportionate. And also, on the more serious end of this problem, the FBI statistics show that more than half of active shooter attacks occurred in places of commerce, as opposed to, so you would have schools, churches, public parks, government buildings, and places of commerce, stores primarily. So this is really truly becoming a problem for people who work in retail. And it does have to do with the fact that criminals know you go into a supermarket, you go into a drugstore, and you're probably not going to get a lot of resistance. What's starting to happen is employees are recording what's happening. You know, 5 years ago, once in a while, you'd see a video somewhere about, oh, this woman went crazy in a grocery store. This guy came into the drugstore and slapped the clerk. And then employees said, okay, I'm not allowed to fight back. Calling the cops is often futile because by the time they get here, the person's gone. And if they do get here in time, a lot of times they can't really do anything because of all the criminal justice reform measures. But at least we can start to document what's going on. So that's the situation. And it's interesting to see unions now making this a prime concern. And I wonder if, say, 5 years from now, the entire landscape will have changed. 5 years from now, the policies may be, if you're an employee in a retail establishment and you're attacked, you are allowed to fight back. All right, let's talk about coupons. And Jennifer Jones Lee is our resident couponer. Now, let's get this out of the way.
Okay.
Coupon?
I say coupon because I was chastised by a news director for saying coupon.
Got it. All right. If I don't think about it, sometimes coupon will come out of my mouth.
Coops.
But if I'm thinking about it, I always say coupon. Okay. Item two, I was surprised how relatively recent the couponing industry, as we know it, began.
See,
How long ago do you think what we think of now? I'm not saying that before this time that I'm going to announce. I'm not saying that before that there was never anything like a coupon or coupons. But what we've been used to with coupons, when did that start, do you think?
I'm going to say the late 70s.
Oh, early 70s.
Early 70s. Okay, I was close.
In the early 70s, it was a printing company in Michigan, and they started distributing those booklets of what we would now call coupons. And it would be a discount on a product that you could bring to any store that sold that product and get the discount, and then the manufacturer of the product would reimburse the store.
Oh,
which
so
is,
like,
I believe, how it all works, right?
Yeah, like if it was a, I don't know, Kellogg's one, you could take it to a store, any store. It could be a Vons, it could be a Ralph's, whatever. Get your, you know, money off whatever cereal that you just bought, and then the manufacturer would pick it up. Yeah, okay, I see what you mean.
So that was the idea. So then, of course, what happens? Somebody has a good idea. Everybody else wants to get in on it. So the grocery store said, oh, if we put out our own coupons, we could get people to come to our grocery stores. And so that led to the thing that you get in the newspaper once a week.
Sure.
You get the Ralph's thing,
sure,
and the Pavilions thing or what have you. And here's the deals that we're having. If it's the Ralph's one, you can't go to Pavilions and get these deals. You got to come to Ralph's. And so the printing of coupons went crazy. And the peak was probably around 99, almost the turn of the millennium. The number of coupons distributed, 340 billion.
Wow.
That's a lot of coupons.
Yes.
Now, you know what's not as big a number? The number of coupons actually redeemed. Throughout this whole history of couponing, about the highest rate of redemption they've ever seen is 3.5. Maybe there was a year where 4% of the coupons that were sent out were actually brought in by people to buy stuff. So now what's happening is everything's down. The number of coupons being distributed, down. The redemption rate, down. Down as low as 0.5%. The amount that you save, down. What is going on here? Now, first thing I do want to ask is, since you are an avid couponer, have you noticed this, any of these trends at all? Oh, okay. We don't have her anymore. Well, I'm going to guess that she has. So why is this happening? Well, one of the reasons that it's happening, I happen to believe this is the reason that it's happening, is technology. Anything that is more targeted is better, and anything that is more direct is better. And so these days, almost every grocery store has an app. Tons of retailers have apps. And it's not really that there aren't so many coupons anymore. It's that they take a different form. Instead of being a paper thing and you got to cut it out and you have your dingy envelope where you gather them and you got to schlep them to the store and go around and get it all and hand it to the checker and she's got to go through or he's got to go through. Now you join the loyalty club of your supermarket. The savings are all in the app. You scan your phone or you put in your phone number and the savings happen automatically. And that's where people are going because the less friction, the better. And paper coupons are, no offense to anybody, they are super old school. They are the cotton gin of saving 20 cents on a roll of toilet paper. It's also that traditional coupons is like scattergunning the thing. Hey, we make, Otter Pops. Let's put a coupon in the newspaper for 50 cents off a pack of Otter Pops. Boom, everybody gets one. But not everybody even likes Otter Pops. I want to say as an aside, if you don't like Otter Pops, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Amen. Un-American.
I don't have a problem if there's a particular flavor that you don't care for. That's fine. I'm not saying you have to love every flavor of Otter Pop, but if you can't find at least one or two flavor of Otter Pops that you like, then I can't be your friend.
And you shouldn't vote.
Oh, man, that's a little harsh. But the point is, so they send out all these coupons, and what percentage of people even give a damn about Otter Pops? And then of those people, what percentage actually are going to buy Otter Pops? And of those, what people are going to remember to cut the thing out and bring it to the store? So if you have an app, though, what can happen is Otter Pops can gather information. You know, you can buy all kinds of marketing information. Otter Pops can identify a subgroup of people who are into Otter Pops and then directly target them with some kind of a savings offer, and they'll have a much better chance of getting a return on that investment. So for all of those reasons, I don't know how much longer for the world these paper coupons are. How do you store your coupons?
Well, it used to be that I literally had a little, you're going to be shocked, it was a Peanuts coupon holder, and I kept it in the door of the truck, but because I stopped carrying them in my purse, because my wallet got huge because of that exact reason. I wanted to make sure that they were always with me, but when I'm, you know, going out and about on the weekends, do I really need that, you know, Otter Pop coupon with me? No. But I did just to make sure that I had them. So I do love the apps because it just keeps you from having all kinds of crap that builds up in your purse. I mean, that's bad enough. I'm just telling you, Wayne, if you carried a purse, it's a problem we all have. Like, stuff breeds in your purse overnight.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Yep. And every woman has that problem.
Handle on the News. late edition. Handle.
Quick world, party time, excellent.
Wednesday morning, take my blues away. Wednesday morning, it's gonna be a brighter day.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart app. It's the Bill Handel Show. He is on vacation. Now, it is time for Handle on the News late edition, but I want to say that Jennifer Jones-Lee, we talked about this earlier in the show, is wearing a shirt. It has a logo that says Catalina Classic. And we were wondering if that was referred to an event of some kind or if it was just sort of a marketing slogan for Catalina Island. And a very nice listener, KFI superfan Eric Lizardo, has hipped me to it. There is the Catalina Classic paddleboard race.
Oh.
It's a 32-mile paddleboard race, and it's happening. And I it sounds like I'm promoting it, but I'm just giving the information. August 28th will be the 45th year of the Catalina Classic paddleboard race. There is no way in hell I can paddleboard 32 miles in the ocean.
I don't think I could go 32 inches in the ocean.
Well, the paddleboard's probably longer than 32 inches, so all you got to really do is get
on
it.
Darn thing.
I think I could get on one. I might be able to move a few feet. And beyond that, forget it.
No way.
So shout out to you paddleboarders. All right, are you ready for Handle on News Late Edition, Jen?
Let's do it.
All right, Jennifer Jones-Lee and me, lead story.
I'm just a traveler.
Don't want to be a jerk, but I don't have sympathy for you if you have a terrible travel experience when you choose to travel during peak times. I just don't.
Thanks, Wayne.
You're choosing your misery at that point. It's one thing if you're responsible and you schedule your vacation in an April or a mid-October, and then you get to the airport and it's a nightmare or all the flights are canceled, that's one thing. But if you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fly Thanksgiving. I'm going to fly July 4th. So it's probably going to be pretty miserable this weekend. Lots of flights being canceled and probably not going to get any better. And now people are getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Regular people
mm-hmm.
and people in the government are yeah. saying, hey, airlines, we gave you $54 billion in pandemic relief, so you should not have any staffing problems. What happened to the money? Why is this happening? That's always going to be the case, though.
Of course. And I do think that, first off, Wayne, when I text you on Friday or Sunday, and I'm annoyed, and I have to say you were right.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of those bazillion people who will be traveling this weekend. It's a shorty flight, though, so I'm hopeful. I know. I'm an idiot. I know.
Well, I mean, in some cases, you know, it's unavoidable.
It's not really unavoidable.
If you have
I just want to see
kids, and the kids are out of school in the summer, and that's when you have to take the vacation. Holidays. I understand people want to get together with their family for holidays. I understand it, but I'm just saying I don't want to hear the complaining about it. That's all.
So when I just text you a smiley face, are you going to know that's me flipping you the bird for being right?
Yeah.
With the smiley face emoji.
You have so many different ways that you have developed to flip me the bird that aren't just flipping me the bird. It's kind of your specialty.
Yes. If anybody ever gets an email from me that says XOXO Jen, 9 chances out of 10.
You've been flipped.
All right. Upgrades have been urged from officials for Amtrak. And this is in that area. Remember where there was the Amtrak train going from L.A. to Chicago, and then it slammed into that dump truck on Tuesday in Missouri. And they've been pushing. Officials apparently have been pushing for a safety upgrades at the railroad crossings like this for years. But this is one of those really rural, out in the middle of nowhere crossings where they don't. It's not marked. There aren't signs. There aren't lights. There aren't crossing guard gates, that kind of thing. But you had 10 people in this instance who were taken to the hospital with injuries ranging from minor to serious. And by Tuesday afternoon, you had 15 people still in the hospital. The dead were three passengers on that train and the truck driver.
And here come the lawsuits because the local officials there at this exact crossing have been pushing for 3 years
yeah.
for some kind of a safety upgrade at that crossing, and nothing happened. Oh, the guy who used a homemade flamethrower to attack an LAPD officer apparently going to face attempted murder charges. Instead, he appeared in court on one count of assault with intent to commit a felony, assault upon a peace officer, and an allegation that he used a deadly weapon. Also, apparently, they're alleging has two prior convictions for resisting.
Question.
From some years ago, yes.
Is this the LAPD's decision or is this George Gascon's decision?
I assume it's the DA's office. And I think one of the problems here is we keep talking about it as a homemade or makeshift flamethrower. It's a spray paint can and a lighter.
Oh, yeah, that's quite
as opposed
different.
To constructing some device and also attempted murder. You got to prove intent to kill. And it's not enough to say, well, the officer could have died. That's not the question. The question is, did you want him to die? So, I mean, he's still, I hope, going to be in a lot of trouble.
All right. Authorities in Arcadia are still looking for all this mail that was stolen on Friday at the post office in Arcadia. This guy was seen stealing 8 trays of mail, loading them into the back of a black sedan at the post office's loading dock. And all the cops have to go on other than that black sedan is that he was a Hispanic male.
What were 8 trays of mail doing unattended on a publicly accessible loading dock?
Unless it was.
And how would this guy know that if he showed up there at that time, that there'd be 8 trays of accessible mail
at a public job?
You said it.
I was just wondering if that's what you were
intimating. You said it. I didn't say anything.
I asked a question.
Yes.
That's all.
Mystery solved. Remember those mysterious flashing lights over the Pacific Ocean down near San Diego? What were they? UFOs, aliens, secret CIA mind control blinking lights. No, flares.
Oh.
From a human boat.
Oh.
That's all. See, this is what people need to just, it's never going to be, the mysterious lights turned out to be some like blob of gelatinous space goo from Pluto scoping out the gas lamp district. It's never going to be that. It's always going to be boring. You know what it's like? It's exactly like magic. When you find out how the trick is done, it's always 100% of the time disappointing.
Why do you think I live in a Lifetime movie world? Then I'm never disappointed. I just think there's a conspiracy theory behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, because they just maintain the fiction.
Yes.
Anyway, it was the flares from a boat, everybody. So simmer down. Oh, this guy.
Oh, my gosh. Russell Westbrook is going to opt in to a $47.1 million contract with the Lakers. They say he hasn't given a final decision on it, and he does have some more days to figure it out with his family. But ESPN was first to report that Westbrook indicated to the Lakers that he will opt into the final year of the Supermax contract that he signed in 2017.
And he will make more. He will make more next season than LeBron James. Well, you know, when he got that contract, he could do no wrong.
Yeah.
And they thought it was a great investment, but now it's just dragging the team. It's dragging their salary capacity and the whole thing. Cause you know what? The people have glory for a while and then they can do no wrong. And then they start to suck, but it takes a long time for people to realize that they suck. And they don't want to go anywhere. I mean, wouldn't you just, if you knew that you could just go suck at a job and still make a ton of money?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So it's, people hang around longer than they should. Hey, let's talk about the Clippers. The Clippers have good news, nice news. Very good, nice news from the Clippers. They have completed a project they started several years ago to refurbish hundreds of basketball courts throughout the city of Los Angeles. 350 of them, to be specific, working with the LA City Parks system. And of course, the Clippers and the Ballmer family, Steve Ballmer's family, you know, supplying almost all the money. And now, this is crazy in a good way. 98% of the population of Los Angeles lives within 2 miles of a renewed public basketball court.
That is
and that means a lot of people live way closer to one than even 2 miles.
Right. But that is phenomenal.
It was the Clippers Community Courts Project. And they did it. How about this? They said they were going to do a thing, and then they did a thing. And not to spritz a little bit on the city, but and the city managed to not ruin it.
That's the miracle. That's the miraculous part of that story.
Yeah. So good for them.
All right, I love this story. The nation's first wheelchair ballroom dance competition is going to take place in Michigan. It was inspired by international competition para dance sport, but the organizers say the U.S. version is going to be the first of its kind to include amputees and other mobility challenged contestants. So some of them will have prosthetics on, and others of them will be in wheelchairs. And I just think it's so cool to me when they can overcome challenges where you might think, okay, dancing, if you're in a wheelchair or you're an amputee or something like that, that might be really difficult for you. And then these organizations come up with ways to make it possible again. And I just, makes me teary. I love it.
Oh, no. Again, a guy got gored by a bison at Yellowstone National Park.
I'm not laughing.
And if you're having deja vu, it's because wasn't it just last month or so that some lady got gored by a bison? Because they keep getting too close to the bisons. You're supposed to stay at least 25 yards away from bison. And some people decide they want to get up close and personal. And I guess he got what he wanted. He got up close, and there's nothing more personal than part of an animal inside your body, damaging your body.
Yeah.
That's about as personal as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not fun.
He is recovering, and they just describe it as he was brutally gored. Oh, it wasn't one of those delicate gorings that we hear about?
He was gently gored.
Yes.
Millions of bees are on the loose after a truck carrying 200 beehives rolled over. This was in Park City, Utah on the 80. They didn't say where the truck was coming from or going or how the accident happened, but all they know is that millions of bees were on this, and they are now on the loose in the area, and local beekeepers are trying to recover as many bees as possible.
No, thank you.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I like looking at bees in a nature video.
Yeah.
Where the bee is not in the room with me.
Yeah.
It's on a screen. I think they're great. I love it. Please don't come near me.
I got stung when I was in the pool last summer. Yeah. And I haven't been stung since I was a little kid. I was probably 5 or 6 last time. I forgot how bad a stupid bee sting hurts. And it was up on my shoulder. So it kind of got, you know, your neck then kind of felt it too. But I thought, those stupid little things that I think are, oh, that's lovely, they're pollinating my flowers, they hurt.
Yeah, I got stung by a bee at summer camp. Aww. And swelled up like that chick in the Willy Wonka movie.
You were Veronica?
That was not fun at all.
No, no.
Yes, yes.
Bad.
One more super fast, because the kind of grudging admiration. So police in a Maryland county decided to do one of those things where they send an airplane up to clock speeders on the ground.
Right.
And they caught a lot of people driving super, super fast. One guy driving a Mustang, they clocked at 169 miles an hour.
Kind of.
If it wasn't so dangerous.
Yes, exactly.
You would fist bump the guy.
Yeah.
All right. That's Handle on the News late edition. And let's get some news from Jennifer Jones Lee. And then we're going to talk about Netflix, the streaming services in general, but Netflix in particular. They are in such trouble that they're starting to play some real games. And that's why you have to wait a long time to watch the second half of Stranger Things. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart app.